Please.
You're all smiling.
Council meeting for Tuesday, January 9th, 2018, is hereby called to order. I'd like to welcome everyone here today. We have under 1.0, call to order, which we've done, 2.0, changes approval to agenda. I have two changes to the agenda this morning. I have a item under 13.4 to add to the agenda, sale of municipal property. That's 13.4. And under 16.1 in the in-camera agenda, we have property matter, and we are going to remove that item from the agenda today. So removal under 16.1 and addition under 13.4. Are there any other changes or amendments to the agenda this morning?
Yes.
A motion to approve the amended agenda is in order, moved by Councilor Fancy, seconded by Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We have no presentations this morning under 3.0. Under 4.0, do we have any petitions to present today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Under 5.0, public question period, comment session. We would ask members of the public to state their name, their address, and limit comments to 5 minutes or less, please. Thank you. Leo.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Leon Roberts from College Street in Liverpool. A couple of things here. The weather conditions over the past couple of weeks, where we had high winds and so on, and loss of power and what have you. And my point here is, according to David Phillips, climatologist, who I knew had met with, indicates that these storms are going to get bigger and stronger and so on in the future. My point is, I'm wondering if, as far as the EMO is concerned, I'm wondering if it would be possible for council to invite, I think it's Brian Head, is the EMO coordinator for Queens, and perhaps invite him to a council meeting just to update everybody on the procedure that he has to put in place when there is an emergency situation, if that could be possible for the future meeting. And also, if you have a lot of information on your website with respect to who to call and what to do and so on in the case of an emergency. But the problem is that not everybody has the computers, particularly a lot of the seniors and so on. And I'm wondering if perhaps maybe that information could be put into the next newsletter. You circulate a newsletter once the course you did the week, and if you don't mind, that's something for seniors, the highlights there, so everybody will know what's going on. And also, your computer doesn't work if you have the electricity there.
Thank you, Leon. With regards to emergency measures information, we do have a fair amount of information on our website under emergency measures. Additionally, in a situation that is developing, we will put updates on that site. If the power should go out and we have information to convey through EMO, we will utilize CKW, QCCR, and other media abilities. So it would be advisable to the public to have a portable radio that has a battery that works to enable residents to pick up those information pieces.
I have one. But it wouldn't be all that much effort to go ahead and put some of that information, put summarizing into a newsletter that could be sent out to everybody.
We'll certainly consider that in our next meeting.
Consider that?
Yeah. We'll consider that in the next meeting.
And also consider, and I have a Brian Finn, and just give an update on the procedures that he has to go through. Emergency column. Thank you on that one, Mr. Mayor. The Gordon Street or school property, as I call it there, is on the agenda here for sale. Was there an appraisal done on that prior to putting it up for sale? We're looking at receiving $81,000. Is that a reasonable amount?
That was a valuation that was put through an appraisal when we listed it for real estate.
You say it was appraised then?
Yes.
What was the appraisal value on it?
That's above the appraised value.
It's above the appraised value.
The previous
appraised value was 75.
I think it was 75.
Okay, that answers my question. For 5 months, just one other thing. You have under 15.1 put something at the, I understand it's sort of working, you'd like to actually hear during the day, that they would be able to come to those meetings, and you haven't set at $1,800, which is 6 p.m. My suggestion would be that you look at 7, because if you're looking at getting the working people here, they work till 4:30, 5 o'clock, time they get home, and so on, 6 o'clock, there's a new amount of time to get to the meeting. I would suggest that we look at a 7 o'clock meeting, which is when your normal planning meetings are sort of required at that time. Would you take that into consideration?
Certainly.
You might be able to get more people here.
Councilors are hearing your comments today as you speak.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leo. Any other member of the gallery who would like to speak today?
Kim Williams, Far Street. Mine's kind of on the same point as Leon's. There should be an established plan for shelters and evacuations in each district. It should be a year-round possibility, so winter and summer, because you can also have power outages in the summer as well. The use should include the facility with backup power and ability to house people for sleeping and eating, as well as maybe a plan for pets as well. A lot of people, they're not going to leave their pet in the house if it's -20, -30. It should be a permanent thing, something that is set in stone. This is where you go, this is what you do. Not a, okay, well, it's this event this time, so you're going to go here. It's this event this time, so you're going to go there. It should be an established thing. This is percent. Now, whether it's town council that does it or EMO, it doesn't really matter who does it. It just should be an established plan, and that could be something that can be added to all the wonderful information you do have on the site, because I went through all that. But if they could just make something that's established, everyone can know it. You can look at it at any time of the year, and you know that that's going to happen. Because I've been through evacuations now, and they're wonderfully run. It's an established thing. It's there all year round, and it can run beautifully.
Thank you, Kim. We work closely with EMO on these issues, and we take their lead. The concern of EMO on setting up a destination that the public can go to whenever they so wish in a disaster or emergency. They have concerns that if it's a snow event and there's zero visibility, they do not want people on the road going to a comfort center, a warming center that is not open, and they do not want people on roads that are dangerous to travel. So they make the determination with their agreements with the locations that they have when they would be open or if they would be open. So it's a little more complicated than just advising the public this is the location of all of the comfort centers and expect that they would be open, because they sometimes are not. So we're working with Brian Hatt of the EMO to see how we address that media issue. And I do thank you for raising those issues, because it is important to our residents and the council. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today?
Bill Cox, 131 Broad Road, White Point. I guess we're all on the same page pretty well this morning. I also have a question with the power outages during the Christmas season. Were any comfort zone, comfort stations utilized in Queens in regard to the power outages, which was about 4 days in some areas?
To my understanding, Queens Place and Mirror Center during normal hours was allowing individuals to come in, charge their electronic equipment, and have a shower. I'm not aware of any being advertised, although I am hearing that Port Mattoon was open for a period of time at their community hall.
North Queens Fire Department.
North Queens Fire Department as well.
Port Midley.
There's a warming center. That's a
Port Midley and Mill Village Fire
Department. Yes, different.
And the other one is that I'm hearing that since they went to the Radio Canada app, that's the KBW, that the station is not manned other than by an engineer, and that any announcements that go in may not be put on the air in a timely fashion. If somebody's in recording their upcoming program or whatever, maybe somebody would answer the phone, but apparently there's no staff other than during the hours of 9 to 5. And as you say, the comfort stations that you have mentioned were not advertised on the radio, so if somebody that was in need of those would not have been able to avail themselves of it. We don't think of these things until we need them, and when we need them, we do need them. And power was put on in a timely fashion in most areas, I understand, this time, and that's encouraging, although there's still a few more branches and trees out there that could properly be resituated to maybe the shipyard or something like that instead of on top of the wires. Before I sit down, I would like to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and the members of council who attended the New Year's levy. It was very much appreciated, and somebody must have been talking it up because we were up about 20% this year compared to last year. So that's just very, very encouraging to see that many more people, and there were a lot of people there that we hadn't seen previously. So we must have some either new residents in our area or new residents that are now venturing up to us. So that was very encouraging. This is my first year in 27 that I didn't participate in the levy in the receiving line, but I did observe from a stationary position, and I did take note of the people that I didn't know, and I must admit that's getting larger and larger. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. We are very pleased to partner with the Legion on the levy, and very appreciative of the number of individuals that do show up. It was over 200, to my understanding. We were happy to see our MP, Bernadette Jordan, and our MLA, Kim Asland, attend. And it gives the public a opportunity to intermingle with elected officials, and I think that's a good thing. In respect to the telephone number and the staffing at CKBW, we do have contact numbers for the staff in an emergency. We have that line of communication available to us. And while the warming centers are opened under the initiative of the community associations or the fire department, EMO did not request that they be opened at this point in time, to my understanding. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, I have one quick question.
Yes, Leon, you can have a follow-up.
the Air Center was mentioned there about going in and getting generators. Does that have a generator backup system?
Not for all of the public facility that's there.
No. It doesn't have a generator backup?
It does not have a generator.
Does not have one for the other systems?
Because I understood from previously that the question was asked a few years ago when it was first built. They said no, it didn't have one.
It was a consideration.
Might have been installed. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Thank you very much. We will move to 6.0, approval of minutes. Under 6.1, we have approval of the minutes for the regular council meeting, December 12, 2017. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes? Hearing none, a motion to accept the minutes would be in order, moved by Councillor Fisk, seconded by Councillor News. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. It's unanimous. We have nothing today under 7.0, danger for on-site and premises. Nothing under 8.0, economic development. Under 9.0, corporate services, we have 9.1. Policy 8, proclamations, a recommendation. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on this one?
Yes, I would. I won't be going by what we have on the paper. It's something else I'd like to make in its place. It says, I recommend that we defer this request until the council meeting of January 23rd, 2018.
Councilor Fancy, there's no need to defer something that's not a motion at this point in time. So in order to defer, there needs to be a motion moved to defer. And it would not be the mover. So if you're reluctant to move this motion, then that's your privilege.
I'm not trying to defer the motion, I'm trying to defer the request. Isn't that?
Yeah,
that's different.
Defer the topic. You can defer the topic for a
if there's no mover of the motion, then it doesn't get dealt with under this council meeting. To defer an item on the agenda would be a different issue.
I can read it and then second it.
be better if we had the motion moved and then deferred, Counsel Fancy?
Okay, move the motion and then second it and then move to table the motion.
Well, table only brings it back to the same meeting, doesn't it?
No.
We can table it to the 23rd.
To the next council meeting, defer to the next council meeting.
Okay. Okay, I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve amended policy 8, proclamations as presented.
Seconder to that motion, Counselor Hughes, would you like to speak on the motion, Counsel Fancy?
And now you can table it.
Okay. I so move that we did, to be table this request, or now it's a motion, until the council meeting of January 23rd, 2018.
Seconder, Counselor Phelan, do I have discussion on the motion to table? Are you ready for the question on the motion to table? All those in favor of the motion to defer? Could I have a show of hands, please?
Are we deferring or table? Because tabling, according to the information I have, is later in the meeting. Deferring is to a future meeting.
It was my understanding that Counselor Fancy's intention was to defer it to the 23rd. That was the date that you provided, was it not, Counselor Fancy?
Yes, I said defer and you said to say table. And I think that's what he's trying to say is, you know, it should be, should not be deferred instead of table. I don't know.
Okay, so your intention is to defer it to the 23rd.
And then we have a discussion on the motion to defer it to the 23rd.
Yes. So that's where we are right now.
So right now, we have a motion to defer it to the 23rd, and now the motion is for discussion.
Yes.
The motion to defer it.
Yes.
Okay. So all those in favor of the motion to defer? Okay, we have five in favor of deferring. All those opposed? We have three opposed. It passes. The motion is deferred until the 23rd. We have nothing today under engineering and works. Under 11.0 finance, we have nothing today. Under 12.0 recreation and community facilities, we have nothing today. Under 13.0 planning, 13.1, we have telecommunications tower in Greenfield. A recommendation, Counselor Fisk, would you like to take the lead on this?
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt administrative policy respecting a development agreement with Eastlink to allow for erection of a telecommunication tower on the property identified as PID number 70115662 and located at 5057 Highway 210, Greenfield, Nova Scotia.
Seconder to that? Seconder for Counselor Fancy. Mike, would you like to give us a brief update on this?
Just a little bit of background. We received application from Eastlink for the erection of a new internet telecommunications tower on the property. which is the former J&H Industries building supply yard on the Highway 210 in Greenfield. The property is zoned as mixed-use rural residential, R5, under the land use bylaw, which doesn't allow for telecommunication towers as a right in their list of permitted uses, however allows council to consider such installations through a development agreement process. We've had, what is intended is a 30-meter self-supporting internet telecommunications tower, which is intended to improve the internet service for the Greenfield, the general Greenfield area. So we've had a public hearing, which was held last night in the community of Greenfield to allow the public opportunity to discuss the tower, and is now before council for consideration regarding entering into the development agreement.
Any councilor have a question or a comment on the issue today? Counselor Fancy?
One thing that I don't think was discussed really well was that when this was put out, this proposal, not the way I understood it, was that when the proposal was put out for the $75,000 or whatever to do something, the only one that came back was Eastland. So that was our only, because I know there was a lot of talk about, well, what could we have done with Bell, what could we have done with everybody else? There was nobody else who put a proposal in, so it was either this or nothing. So it isn't the matter of we made a choice to do take Eastland and over anybody else. You know, the only one that came back with it was within that guideline of the money that was available.
And I guess the scope of this application is really specific. I guess the development agreement and what we're here to discuss today is specific to this location, regardless of, I guess, some of the background as to how Eastlink got there. The application is from Eastlink, who is the developer for this installation. So I guess it's council's consideration as to, is this the best location for an internet tower in the community of Greenfield. So as per the municipal planning strategy, which allows council to consider that through a development agreement process.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
We had a good representation from the public last night at the public hearing in Greenfield, and a lot of questions and a lot of concerns about the level of service they're getting. However, after more clarification was made, it was basically decided, or not decided, but just discussed, that improving the service to the existing users of intranet and the core of the community is what this tower would provide. And that would be the education, the school, that would be local businesses and people that are operating home-based businesses within the area that this would serve. And I think that's really important for these small communities. And it gives us an opportunity to expand later on when technology is more, and when we're able to afford the further technology in order to expand it out to underserved areas. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a stepping stone that we can make for further expansion of services mm-hmm. in the internet.
Any other councillor? Councillor Kelly?
I think I'd just like to say about last night about the hearing, and maybe Richard can speak to this, because it was at one point what decided for me was that this Greenfield qualified for a specific project, if I'm right in saying that in what Richard said last night, and that people were concerned that, you know, we were going ahead with a project for the sake of going ahead with a project for $75,000, but it wouldn't be if we didn't go ahead with this project and have to give that $75,000 back. It would not go back into other things. It would go to another community with the same project that we're having here in Greenfield, because we qualified for that particular project. So there were a number of other, that same project could have gone to a number of other communities just like Greenfield, but it came to us very specific because we had, I guess, ticked the most boxes for that particular project. So if I understand that correctly, then it's not, people were concerned last night that money would, you know, we shouldn't waste it, but it would just go to that same project in another community, achieving the same goals that we're trying to achieve in Greenfield. Mm. That's pretty much the case, yeah. Mm. So
that would be a good assessment, mm. Councillor Kelly. If we do not complete the project as agreed to the province, then we would have to return the funding. Any other councillors? Councillor Fisk?
May I just add to what Councillor Kelly just said? With the money going back, and they were discussing that it's our tax dollars, well, even if it were back, we still have to pay that tax dollar. It's a profit. So I feel strongly that by the show of hands last night, they were more for the project than against it. That there was a deep amount of discussion, and I can understand the frustrations in that community. There's several communities in the province of Nova Scotia in the same boat, and it's just, it's unfortunate. But I'm hoping this is a stepping stone for a future development with Eastlink, and that Eastlink can develop more of the area and surrounding areas to make it stronger. So thank you.
Councilor Johnson?
I think what we need to do is look at this as a huge opportunity going forward, and to break it out. The issue on the table today, it doesn't matter whether it's it's East Link or whether it's me trying to get approval to erect the tower. That's one thing. The other side of it is the service levels and the fact that we're dealing with a grant that we were able to secure from the region for the area. And that allows us the opportunity not to let this fall off the agenda somewhere along the line. That when that service is complete, what is our process to go back and make sure that the service levels that we're agreeing to don't fall into the same things that's been historically happening with all the other initiatives for, you know, small community, high-speed internet, definition of high-speed, whatever you want to make it. It shouldn't take away from what Mike has put on the table here today. It's a separate issue. But I don't know how to get it here that we don't lose sight of it when the project is done, to be able to have the people from East Link be accountable for what the end service level is. And as we heard last night, maybe have those people talk to the public in Greenfield, you know, and us to be able to facilitate that meeting as a council. That's all. That's, it's more of a comment than a question, but at the end of the day, I don't know how we make sure we don't lose sight of this. And maybe it's through the project management side of it that Richard will be handling or something like that. But it's a huge opportunity here to make sure that money has been spent in the best interest of what it was intended.
Thank you, Councilor Johnson. Any other councilors would like to comment or ask a question this morning? I have Councilor Fancy.
One other question, one thing they mentioned last night too, with that business being put in and its location as it is, I heard different people talk about when they first had the internet that they had there at the beginning, it was very good until more and more people came on the line, and then it started bogging down because more and more people were using it. With this being here, and I'm no tech savvy or anything like that, but it seems to be that this is going to have more capacity so that more people can be able to use this, which may take away from other towers, which may end up helping more than just there in the general locality of what's going to be. So it's not going to reach the 1.5 for this tower, but it may end up giving others a better opportunity of using their existing towers.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
And also, I think it's been reinforced and spoken and indicated that intranet is an essential service. So we now should take that more seriously and make sure that those essential services are provided to communities within the capacity that we and the other levels of government can provide.
Yeah, for a point of clarification, I do believe this council takes internet as a vital service. Mm-hmm. And we certainly are working with the province and federal government to find the dollars that are needed to upgrade the service, upgrade their services for residents in Queens to the level that they need to be. Money is always the issue when you're adding infrastructure. And the residents are correct. They certainly need improved service, and we as a regional municipality need to step up to that challenge and do what we can to improve the service. Thank you. Any other councilor this morning on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, and please note for the record that Councilor Mewes did not vote as he was not in attendance at the public hearing. We will now move on to 13.2, sale of former Gorham School properties, recommendation. Councilor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on 13.2?
I also recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enter into a purchase and sale agreement with Gregory Thomas for the sale of municipal properties identified as PIDs 7001-8296, 7001-8817, 7002-8006, 7024-6061, and 7024-6079. Known as the former Gorham School property, for the sale price of $81,000 plus HST.
Seconded to that motion? Councilor Mewes? Mike, would you like to brief us on this?
Yeah, just to the motion on the floor this morning. The five parcels are what was formerly part of the Gorham School property. We have had the five parcels listed through real estate, through Turner Drake, for the last 6 months or so. We received an offer from Mr. Thomas for the acquisition of the five parcels of land for $81,000, which is slightly above the determined market value of the vacant parcels of land. That being $76,000 is what the appraisal had come back on those parcels for. So so we received an offer which was over and above list price.
And the councilors have comments or questions on this issue? Councilor Johnson?
Just for clarification, according to the diagram, is this the entire piece of land that's associated with the old Gorham School, or is that piece that they're shown vacant on the map to the southeast, is that a piece that we're going to be retaining as a region?
There's the five parcels that are highlighted in dark are what is intended to be conveyed. It abuts both Bazant Street, Brunswick Street, and the Trestle Trail, so it's the five parcels highlighted in.
But is there, will we be owning anything else?
No.
That's
no. Are you okay? You're talking about there's a piece. I guess it would be to the south. That's part of the cemetery property, I believe. So
okay.
it's all private land outside.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Any other councilor? Question or comment on this issue? Councilor Preller.
Mike, can you remind us what this developer has in mind?
He's looking at a multiple unit residential housing development for the parcel.
Councilor Kelly?
And also for this developer, as well as with any piece of land and other lands that we've sold, there are conditions in place that we want this piece of land developed and that
that's correct.
Developed in a certain amount of time as well. Is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's a buyback condition in the purchase and sale, and should it not proceed with the development, we obviously is our goal to see development take place.
Exactly.
If that doesn't happen, then we have the opportunity to acquire that property back. So.
Awesome.
Any other councilor? Comment on this issue today? Councilor?
Just clarification, the buyback means that we get first option. We can't put this land.
It will run with the land, so if they sell the land in the interim, that condition is still going to apply. So if they don't proceed with that development, it's coming back to us.
Do you have the option to sell the property?
They would, but the condition would run with that sale.
Thank you.
Any other councilor? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
It's good to have the tax dollars coming from this property as well.
Exactly. As municipal property, there's they're exempt from municipal, so certainly getting into the private hands. Definitely.
Yeah. And of course the economic benefits of once construction starts for a community as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a win-win situation basically.
Any other councilor? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We can move on to 13.3, Spectacle Island Lighthouse Heritage Designation. Councilor Yu, would you like to take the lead on this one?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality serve notice of the recommendation upon the owners of the Portmanteau Spectacle Lighthouse, located on the parcel of land on Spectacle Island in Portmanteau and identified as PID number 7006955 4, regarding the registration of the lighthouse in the municipality registry of heritage property, and that the Council of the Region of Queens shall sit to hear any comments, concerns regarding the registration on January 23rd, 2018 at 8:45 a.m. in the Council Chambers of the Regional Administration Buildings, 249 White Point Road in Newton.
Seconder to that motion, Councilor Fisk. Mike, would you like to brief us on this issue?
Yep, we've received application from the owners of the Spectacle, or the Portmanteau Lighthouse, which is known locally as the Spectacle Lighthouse, and that being the Spectacle Light Society. The lighthouse is located on the northwest point of Spectacle Island, off of Carter's Beach in Port Mattoon. I guess the lighthouse itself is a great example of a wooden square tapered lighthouse, which is typically known as a pepper box design, which was popular throughout Atlantic Canada during the 19th and 20th centuries. The lighthouse itself has had very little alteration since its construction. The current structure was built in 1937, which replaced the original lighthouse built on Spectacle Island back in 1873. It has served the local area as a beacon in the area of serving the local fishing industry since its installation in 1873. It's highly valued in the community, and the community identifies that as part of their heritage and identity. Back in 2015, the Spectacle Light Society acquired from the federal government the land upon which the lighthouse stands, and has worked diligently to restore the lighthouse, which had come under considerable disrepair over the years. So they've invested a lot to bring that lighthouse back to its present condition. So the Heritage Advisory Committee met in December to discuss the application, and the committee certainly recognized the important role that lighthouses have played within our maritime community over the years, and that this was a great example of the lighthouses that are typical along our coastline. So. The committee felt that certainly this lighthouse was worthy of a municipal heritage designation. So under the Heritage Property Act, the process that they've established for the designation of either a provincial heritage property or a municipal heritage property is that notification be served on the owners of the property, that the council intends to designate this as a municipal heritage property, because in not all situations is it the actual owner of the property that makes application for a heritage designation, so they have to be allowed the opportunity to come before council and make comment on the proposed designation. So, but in this case, it is the owners of the lighthouse that have made the application, but we still have to go through that formal process. So, as per the recommendation at the January 23rd meeting, we propose to have the site. The society come before council to express any comments that they may have on the proposed designation.
Any comments or questions of councilors on this issue? Councilor Kelly?
When it comes to heritage properties, I know we have a registry. Do we have other things on this, the heritage registry? Do we for the municipality?
Yes, I guess that's a listing. There's about 15 properties that are either provincial or municipally designated.
So this is just considered a designation. There's no meaning behind it. It doesn't mean it doesn't afford it any. I don't know.
Certainly, there are benefits of a designation. There are provincial funding programs that are available to owners of either provincial
okay.
or municipal heritage properties. So it allows them for. Some financial assistance for restoration or restoration advice through consultants and things like that. Having a property designated does place restrictions on the property as far as significant alterations or demolition, that somebody can't just go in and make alterations to the things that make a building of significant historical character. Or demolition of those properties. There's a process they would have to apply for if they wanted to alter or demolish a heritage property. So there's we want to protect those historic components of a structure. So it does place some restrictions on properties as well.
And who is the I don't know what the right word is, the overseer of that? You know, like if someone bought one of these heritage properties. And make changes to it. How does one control what changes they make to it, or how they do that? Is that through your office?
Yeah, there's application. But if somebody wants to alter or demolish There's an application that's made, and brought before council for, and council will have the say as to whether they're allowed to proceed with the alteration or demolition. Under the Heritage Property Act, there's up to 3 years that the municipality or, and the property owner, if they can't come to some resolution as to the alteration or the demolition, then after that period of time, then the property owner has the right to do what they will. But that's, the province, a couple of years ago strengthened that. It used to be like 120 days was the timeframe that was established. If you couldn't come to some arrangement, then the property owner could do what they wanted to do. But they strengthened the act to increase that to a 3 year period, so that affords I guess a greater degree of protection for the heritage properties.
So other than administering this heritage registry, there's no cost to the Region of Queens?
No, and I guess part of that, there will be a plaque ceremony. We would typically buy a plaque for the buildings and have a little ceremony to unveil the plaque, so, which would be kind of interesting on spectacle line.
Logistically, so.
We'll wait for storm day.
Can I ask one more question? The other thing I wanted to know was, so designating this on the municipal heritage registry, that allows them then to maybe go further and put it on a provincial heritage registry or a federal heritage registry, which also gives it more kind of meat behind it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about the federal registry of heritage projects. We've got a number of those, but provincially there is the ability. I guess the difference in the designations to go for a provincial designation, it has to be more significant on a provincial scale as opposed to the local scale. So is this a unique structure province-wide? So it would be a little more challenging to get a provincial designation on something like this than...
But it's the first step in a process that's possible.
They can certainly apply for, that's right.
Right, it's important then that we do this.
Yep.
Any other councilor have a comment, question today on this issue? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I would like to commend the society for their efforts in retaining that lighthouse.
Absolutely.
And it's really something that we certainly all should be proud of, and it adds to the tourism factors in our community, and it could be accessible if there was some way to get people back and forth and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really something that's really good for them to do.
Absolutely.
Appreciate their efforts.
Any other councillor today? Ready for the question?
Questions?
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you. The next item is 13.4, sale of municipal land. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on 13.4?
13.4, I must have that here somewhere, do I?
Yeah.
Yes, I got it. Too many papers.
There's one there for sale with the limited company number.
Yep. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enter into a purchase and sale agreement with 3303407 Nova Scotia Limited for the sale of municipal properties identified as PID numbers 7004-0134, 7004-0209, and 7002-7529 for the price of $30,000. HST not included.
Seconded to that motion? Moved by Council. Seconded by Councilor Farrell. Mike, would you like to brief us on that?
Yeah, these are three parcels of land that the municipality had acquired back in the mid-90s. They were lands formerly owned by the Liverpool Waterfront Development Corporation, and upon their disbanding, those lands were conveyed to the Region of Queens Municipality. The three parcels are landlocked parcels in that they don't have direct road frontage, so that in itself limits the usability of these lands to primarily those that have abutting lands. So we've had we've been approached by one of the abutting property owners to acquire these three parcels of land from the municipality for a purchase price of $30,000. They were currently not on the market through real estate, so it was a direct approach by one of the abutting property owners for that conveyance.
Any questions or comments with councilors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Say your unanimous, thank you. Thank you, Mike. We can move on to 14.0 reports, and we have nothing on the report today. 15.0 other, we have 15.1 evening council meeting file. Councilor Johnson, would you like to take the lead on this one?
Sure thing. I'd like to recommend that the council for the region of Queens municipality take into trial a change in council meetings times at once per quarter or per year. We conduct a regular council meeting to be held on the second Tuesday of the month in the evening at 1800 hours, commencing at 6 o'clock, excuse me, instead of 9 o'clock in the morning, commencing in April 2018.
Seconders of that motion, Councilor Fisk. Councilor Johnson, would you like to speak to this one?
Certainly. I know that this has been something that's been on my radar for the last 14 months. That's been when we hear the concerns from the general public about making things more accessible. And what we learned from last night, if the agenda is important and people have access to come out, we get to hear more from the general public. And taking into consideration what we heard today from the gallery, I'm saying that, you know, give this thing a trial run for four during the year. Are we going to make mistakes? Probably. Is the timing going to be perfect? Probably not. But at the end of the year, we might be able to do something to make it even better to go forward. If there's something to learn from the past, then let's incorporate it now. But this is a starting point that we can enable us to be a little bit more accessible to those who work every day. And if they have to get off work an hour early in the afternoon, that's a lot better than taking the morning of off their work to be here at council. It's an important item to them. So.
Any comments or questions of councilors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. That takes us to the end of our open council items. A motion to go in camera would be entertained. Moved by Councilor Kelly, seconded by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? All those, are you ready for the question?
Thank you.
All those in favor of the motion? Thank you very much. We are now in camera.